What we believe here at Daleville Christian Church is contained today in Colossians chapter 3, the first four verses, where it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory." Today's word of God is from Luke chapter 24, the first 14 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering who would roll the stone away from the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the words and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This passage, or this last part of this passage, is not the usual Easter morning passage. Although this event happened that first Easter morning, later in the day, when Jesus met up with the two travelers going to Emmaus. The events of Easter morning and the empty tomb we covered at the sunrise service. But we focus on this passage at this service. First of all, because, like everything else in the Bible, it actually happened. But secondly, the disciples that we are shown here seem distracted, mournful, and down, because events did not turn out like they had hoped. So disciples have a problem like most of us have had. And they even say this, "We thought that Jesus was the one to restore," they said. But again, as we mentioned last Sunday, they were looking at a restoration of a nation, a country, a government. Jesus told the governor, Pilate, at Jesus' trial, "My kingdom is not of this world." God's kingdom comes on the earth and comes to the earth, but it is not an earthly kingdom. But in Jesus Christ, the kingdom has come. Jesus said, "The kingdom is here, among you, within you. If I am in you and you are in me." As a church that wants to be Bible-based, we look at the Bible every Sunday. It's the basis of our worship. It is God's instruction book. God gives life, and along with the gift come instructions. However, there is another reason that we look at the Bible. The Bible also tells us what God is doing. You might even say that the Bible is God's to-do list. The Lord tells us what He is doing, and the Lord tells us what He wants to do, and the Lord tells us what the Lord intends to do. We like to remind ourselves that God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us, and some of God's plans are outlined here in God's book, the Bible. The Bible isn't about things that happened long ago. There are things, maybe even a lot of those things in the Bible. We could say that the Bible is an agenda, and God is working God's agenda. God intends to redeem His creation. God intends to save this world. God intends to bring His kingdom right to you. Palm Sunday was the day that we saw the clash of God's agenda with man's agenda. And some say it was the clash of agendas that brought about Jesus' death. Remember that Jesus is on God's agenda. God intends to save us. And God is going to do what God has to do to save us. To save us will require the death of God's Son, Jesus. Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing what awaited Him there. Jesus even described a number of events in detail that would take place and described it to the disciples. The disciples had trouble hearing it. Peter was the first to protest. So we, when we're reading God's Word, we're prepared for what was going to happen in Jerusalem. Jesus, God's Son, had an agenda, and the crowd in Jerusalem that Palm Sunday had a different agenda. We've been talking this season about restoration. One part of the Lord's agenda we've been noticing this season is restoration. Jesus came to restore what was broken in our world. Broken lives, broken hearts, broken health, broken minds, broken relationships, and broken relationships with the Heavenly Father. Judas broke fellowship with Jesus and the disciples. The disciples broke fellowship with Jesus. Jesus restored that relationship. Even after they all fell away and fled away from Jesus when He was arrested, Jesus came to them after He was resurrected and restored the 11 disciples to their place in Jesus' plan for them. This season, Daleville Christian Church looks at Jesus restoring and healing what was broken because Jesus came to restore us also. Jesus came to restore us in all the ways we need restoration. The prophet Isaiah saw this restoration this way. This is what the Lord says, "In the time of My favor, I will answer you." I just mentioned that Jesus' birth was considered the time of the Lord's favor. "In the time of My favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances." The inheritances were desolate. The promises were not fulfilled. The people were to inherit blessings and the people were to be a blessing. And that promise would be fulfilled with a new group of people, a people of all nations, even the downtrodden. Isaiah went on to say to the captives, "Come out," and to those in darkness, "Be free." The word of the Lord has spoken. This is what God is doing. We celebrate today what God is doing. This restoration that is taking place is God's activity. God raises the dead. Today is not about us or our plans. Today, Easter Sunday, is a celebration of God's plans. God's plan to save us all. If we'll have it, if we want it, if we want to be restored to God, Jesus makes it possible. Jesus made it happen. I came upon a quote from Pastor Charles Stanley that summarizes a lot of truth I'm talking about. He says we are either in the process of resisting God's truth, or we are in the process of being shaped and molded by His truth. So the only question is, are we in? Are we all down with God's plan? Will we be a part of God's plan? When Jesus went to people, or they came to Him, those who said yes to God's plan were healed. They were put in their right minds. They could see again. Their limbs were restored to health. They lived. God makes things new in Jesus Christ. The risen Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I am making all things new. It's on our banner hanging here in the sanctuary. They are Jesus' words, words of the risen from the dead Jesus. We are either moving with what God is doing or we are resisting what God is doing. Because as we noted Jesus' words this season, Jesus said, My heavenly Father is working to this day, and I am working. I quoted Victor Marx last week, a man who worked with troubled youth, because Victor Marx was an abused and troubled youth. But Jesus was at work in Victor Marx's life. Victor Marx said, God is ready and eager to heal and restore you. He can tenderly pick up the broken pieces of your life bit by bit and reshape them into beauty and strength. This is God's desire for you, my friend. Don't be discouraged if your restoration looks hopeless. It took me a while to come to this place of healing. But I can say without a doubt, Jesus wants to do the same for you. Listen to our Lord's beautiful words of encouragement for me and for you. And it's quoting Isaiah 61, which is also found in Luke 3. These same words Jesus began his public ministry with in another synagogue so long ago. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Friends, our God in Christ isn't just talking about restoration. Our God in Christ is working restoration. Jesus brings the restoration. Jesus brought the restoration 2,000 years ago, and Jesus brings restoration now. Today, Jesus is at work still. Isaiah 61 goes on to say in verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus demonstrated so many times that if we can't get to Jesus, Jesus will come to you. God comes to you in Jesus Christ. How many crippled and blind called to Jesus to come to them? Jesus, save us. Jesus, save us, said the blind man. Jesus, by his actions, was saying, My Father in heaven helps the helpless. I so often think that in Christianity we blame the victim. Why am I not healed? Well, it's because you don't pray enough. Well, you're still sick because you don't have enough faith. Or you're still miserable because of you. It's your fault. That's where a lot of people's faith is. Over and over again this season, we have seen the Bible say no to that belief. God is at work whether we are or not, right? Isn't that what the apostle said? The apostle Paul said, while we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, Jesus died for us. Jesus didn't wait until we prayed enough or had enough faith. Jesus acted on our behalf even while we were being jerks about it. Well, those aren't Paul's exact words, but that's a rather loose translation. Romans 5:8. God's love in Jesus is that great. And Jesus said God is still at work through Jesus for our benefit. This morning at the sunrise service, we noticed that Jesus' body was restored. Not that we shall have our bodies restored, because restoration starts to sound like having things put back. When we die, our bodies will not be put back. They'll be resurrected. We will transcend. We will rise above these earthly bodies. Jesus' body could go through walls, and yet he could be touched and held, and there were scars in his skin. Understand it? I don't. Do we understand God? I don't understand God fully. Shall we understand everything that God does? I know I don't. One example we might all appreciate is the restoration of an automobile or a house. Some of you have been involved in those projects. In those restoration projects, when the vehicle or house is restored, it isn't with all old parts, is it? Oh, it might have old new stock, but some are brand new parts. Sometimes we put features in the restoration that were never a part of the original. And that's true of our restoration through Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We didn't have the Holy Spirit before the restoration began, but we have the Holy Spirit when Jesus begins restoration. And so we, like the house or the automobile, are better than we were before the restoration began. We too are better than when the restoration began. When our salvation works backwards in our lives, and salvation can and does work backward in our lives, we can begin to forgive things we couldn't forgive before. We can make amends for things we couldn't make amends before. We can say I'm sorry in situations we couldn't say it in before we were restored. As I've mentioned many times, when Jesus or the people Jesus raised came back to life, they were not simply resuscitated to a point where before their deaths. No, they were restored to health. They were healed. Not merely living again just as they did minutes before they expired. They were restored, healed. What we do in the hospitals resuscitate people. They come back to a point where they were before they expired. They're still sick. When Jesus restores or raises people, they are not simply resuscitated. They are healed. They're better off than before. With better parts, we could say. Or to say it rather simply, when Jesus puts us back together, we're put together the right way. Whatever was broken, and we've all been broken, or some of us are still broken, or parts of us are still broken. Victor Mark said restoration takes time. This morning at the sunrise service, we talked about the events of Jesus' resurrection, demonstrated that human powers were overcome, the power of Rome, the power of the Roman government. The power of the Roman governor was overcome. Human power was frustrated by God's power. Man's power would have kept Jesus in the tomb. The Romans wanted Jesus to remain in the tomb. They sealed it. They put a guard. Everything was done to keep the tomb closed and sealed. They wanted Jesus to be dead and to remain dead. But the power of God broke through all human effort. God has an agenda. The Lord is working the Lord's agenda. The question is, are you in? Are you in? Are you up for what God is down with? Amen.